What's up, y'all?
My future isn't determined by where I currently reside. Understanding your worth will put pride in your stride. I'm accountable to my call. There's no compromise. I set my own bar, and you better know it's set high.
It's giving what it's supposed to give. Ooh, stop playing with them.
What's up, y'all? Welcome back to another episode of It's a Perspective, a show dedicated to uncovering different perspectives through dope conversation. Today, we have a special guest. She's an author of two books titled Becoming Hope and Until I Met Black Men. She is an activist, social media presence, and founder of a nonprofit called Allow Me, which is curated for LGBTQIA plus youth of color to explore their abilities with leadership and creativity. She is educated with a bachelor's and master's in fine arts, the first openly trans woman to do so from Alabama State University. She is uncovering the conversation surrounding LGBTQIA+ and trans and the trans community and making sure the voices of those communities that she's a part of is heard. Please welcome Ms. Hope Giselle. Hey, how are you today?
Hey, I'm good. Thank you for having me.
No problem. Okay, well, let's get straight into it. This part of my show is called That's My Jam, a segment where you can play a song that's your mantra or a song that you can't resist jamming, dancing, or singing to. So what you got for us today?
Oh my God, I love, right now I think my mantra is heated. I love the Breakdown by Beyonce. Yes. That little tip, tip, tip on hardwood floors gives me every time and I know everywhere.
Yes. Okay, well, let's get into it. Yes, that Beyonce moment hits every time. That, listen.
Every time.
Every time. Tip, tip, tip on hardwood floors.
Oh, hardwood floor.
Yes, I love it. I love it. So I'm glad that you chose that as your jam. And I feel like it flows exactly with our conversation today, and it gets us hyped up to have this conversation that we're going to have. Before I get into it, I just want to say that this show is dedicated to opening the world to new perspectives, whether we agree or disagree. And today, with this conversation, we are definitely going to inquire a perspective. With that being said, who is Hope?
Wow, hope is a lot of different things. I am a daughter. I'm about to be a wife. I am a sister. I'm an activist. I'm an author. I am so many things to a lot of different people. But I think that most of all, if nothing else, I'm a change maker. I like to really hone in on that. I like to create change where I go. I like to open up new spaces where I go, and I like to always engage in the hard conversations. And so I think that those things create change, which is why like I'm starting to adopt that as a part of the things. But like my main thing, hope is a change maker.
Yes, I love that so much. A change maker. Well, while we're on the topic of being a change maker, I know this is a heavy question to maybe start with, but how do we in the Black community bridge the gap between the LGBTQIA and straight communities?
I think that people just need to stop separating them, honestly. Like, if you Black, you Black, right? Like, I think that there's this need for Blackness to appear to be perfect. And what a lot of folks are missing is that they're equating perfect to Eurocentric ideas, right? Wow. We are fighting against the patriarchy. We're fighting against all of the white supremacist ideals, but then we're trying to hold each other to those exact same ideals as a measure for how to be the perfect Black person, right? Which includes not being queer. But what's so funny is that in every other way, we can dismiss or dismantle the way that white supremacy is a problem, or we can acknowledge when something is some quote unquote white people shit. But I look at people all the time and I say that like, queerness doesn't seem to bother white people in the same way that it bothers Black people, right? In a way where it becomes hella violent. So
just
stop the assimilation for the sake of like respectability for people who will never respect us.
Yes. And I want to talk a little bit about hostility later in the episode. But I I wonder why it doesn't bother, you know, our other counterparts as much as it does the Black community. Do you?
Because I think that especially when it comes down to like masculinity, white men's masculinity isn't wrapped up in who they sleep with or how they behave. Mm. I don't think that white woman's femininity is wrapped up in who they sleep with or how they behave. I think that their femininity or masculinity is tied to what they were assigned at birth, right? If I was born a man and I agree with that, then I'm a man and therefore I am inherently masculine. If I was born a woman and I agree with that, then therefore that is what I am and that is what I'm tied to. Whereas with Black folk, Black women have not been allowed to just be feminine or be women because there's always masculinity placed upon Black women, whether you're trans or cis or whatever the case may be. And then with Black men, a Black man can't wear the wrong color without someone questioning his sexuality or manhood. So it's just like, I think that when it comes down to it, there is a lot of the white supremacist ideals that have been thrown upon us that force us into these boxes where we now judge one another in very harsh ways and overt ways that they don't. But then also, I think that there is a social understanding of the ways in which we need for each other to show up in order for us to respect one another. Even in the community of like trans folks, people think that, oh, trans women are just so much more accepting of men who are alternative or men who are weird. But you have a bunch of trans women that are just as, you know, problematic and toxically feminine as any other cis woman walking down the street. Like, you have the same amount of people that are just as disrespectful to Black women while also saying protect Black women, but then calling certain Black women masculine for looking a certain way or engaging in certain jobs. And so it's just like, I think that we have the wrong idea about the comparison and contrast, because when it comes down to it, those white boys will be at a bar, they'll kiss each other, they'll smack each other on the butt, and then they'll go home with their wives, and their wives don't think anything of it. Right? Yeah. Until you say that you're gay over there, you're what you are. But over here, it's like everything is up for speculation, and I think that that's a huge problem.
But I kind of feel like it's because we haven't been given the ability to be free in all aspects. Like, we are bound in work. We are bound in the skin that we live in. And so when we try to then attach a sexuality to it, it becomes something that is very confusing for a lot of different people. And so I think that it, in a way, if we could genuinely become free in all aspects of life, not just in our sexuality or not just in, you know, how white supremacy plays a role in our community, I think that could be a benefit in how we live and care for each other genuinely. That's what I think, at least. So with you being an advocate for the trans community, what has been the most challenging things to convey to those with the lack of knowledge?
Honestly, that we're not a monolith. I think that there's a lot of conversations going on right now, and some of them are ignorant and some of them are dumb, and you know, like they come from really weird places. But like, I think that the idea of trying to convince people that not everybody thinks the same way, the idea of trying to convince people that meeting one trans person does not equate to the experience that you're going to have with every single person is annoying. And I think that it's extremely and more annoying as a Black trans woman, because we get that when it comes to Black people, right? Like, we have these same conversations. Meeting one Black woman that's loud and the stereotype does not mean that every Black woman that you meet is going to be loud and the stereotype. Meeting one Black woman that might be a little bit more refined and Karen-like, right, does not mean that every Black woman that you meet is going to subscribe to those things. So it's just kind of like, if we can give grace and make understanding and have those conversations with other races of people about that aspect, why do we seem to like toss those things out of the window when it comes down to like one ignorant trans person saying something on the internet, or not even an ignorant person, but a person who might have been hurt by somebody and decided to hurt that person back, you know, like, that's always hard.
Yeah. And it doesn't seem like there's a lot of grace extended to the people that have those things happen, and it becomes a big viral moment. And so it could be damaging to a community of people just because of one person. And I feel like that is the case for Black people in general, but I can understand how that could be something that happens in the trans community as well. So we were talking about hostility earlier, and so I'm bringing it back around. Do you believe the hostility from the cisgender community comes from the lack of knowledge, the refusal to seek education of the times, or the uncertainty that a person can't differentiate a gender that they may not have wanted to have relational access to?
Honestly, I don't think that it's any of them. I think that some people are just woefully ignorant and like the idea of being a part of the majority, right? The majority of people say that trans people, gay people, queer people are wrong. And rather than be on the opposition and have to fight with y'all back and forth and tooth and nail, it's easier to be a part of the people that are going to come and save me if I say something ignorant, because most people believe the ignorant thing, right? And it's like back in the day, there might have been 1,000 men that wanted to wear skinny jeans before Lil Wayne made them popular. But it wasn't until Lil Wayne said it was okay that boys decided to go out and buy those damn pants. It wasn't okay to, you know, give a, you know, a head to a woman until all of these rappers started talking about how they was eating a box and beating a box from the back. And now all of a sudden, all of y'all are admitting to doing X, Y, and Z. And so I think that it's really just about us having the ability to create our own individuality. Like, we need to stop this idea of allowing people with money to dictate what is okay for the majority when those people with money don't even navigate in the majority, you know?
Ooh, that's a good point. That is a good point. How do you feel that people take that first step to stop allowing people who may have influence to allow these different perceptions of what we view as the society?
I mean, we just got to start by, first of all, we do us, right? In any other aspect, when it comes to talent, when it comes to food, when it comes to the way that we dress, when it comes to the way that we do different hairstyles, like, we'll take something and flip it and we'll do what works for us. And I think that if people started to do that with the way that they saw the world and everybody minded the business that paid them, as long as somebody's not in your personal space, you know, like, do the thing that works for you and allow people to do the thing that works for them. And as long as you don't cross your mess cross my threshold, if I didn't allow you to, we're good. And I think that the more that we lean into that, the better we'll be.
That is so good. So how has created a space through social media helped you?
Ooh, I've been able to have so many different conversations with people that I don't think that I would have ever come in contact with without social media. I think what a lot of people don't realize, and what I didn't realize for a long time, was that a lot of hopefuls are older people. A lot of the hopefuls are not my age. They have never been my age. A lot of the hopefuls range from about 45 to 67. And I am teaching people's grandmothers and people's mothers and people's fathers and people's uncles and them. And that is always really, really encouraging to me, that I don't have like a group of people that are on my wavelength and on my level, because most of the people that are on my age group and on my wavelength, they kind of get it. The folks that don't, they're not really in community with me. But it means a lot that folks that grew up with my mom and my grandmother, the people who really like kind of sort of pioneered some of this rhetoric, are now saying, you know, I can go back to my grandbaby because of the conversation that I've seen you have. I can go back to my daughter and I can be accepting because of this space that you've created for me to be able to have a genuine conversation. And that makes me feel really good.
Yeah, I bet you that is super empowering for you, because I feel like in your journey, like, did you have any bumps in the road, or did you have any, you know, feelings of not being able to come to certain people, or certain people coming to you like that?
You know, honestly, there were so many bumps in the road. And I think the conversations that I'm always most afraid to have, and I do say afraid, mean afraid, are the ones with Black women. Because I think that I even have to tiptoe around the way that I differentiate, right? Like, now cis has become disrespectful, and it's not meant to be disrespectful. And so it's like, in certain ways, I feel like I have to dull myself down. It's like, when I say Black women, like, I can't include myself in that, because like, I'm afraid that the person that I'm talking to is gonna then become violent to me, and then I have to I don't be wanting to get into that. Like, I'm okay with having whatever conversations and respecting whatever people want to do, or whatever folks don't want to do. So if you set that boundary for me, then it's respected. But I also feel like, in the vein of having certain conversations, it's hard to do that when I am perpetually worried about the fact that if I take this person off, the majority of people are going to agree with her and what she has to say, even if she's dead wrong. Even if I said one little thing and she uses that as her moment to turn up on me, when this clip is released,
everybody who sees this is going to, like, majority of the folks are going to be on her side. Yeah. And then I look like an asshole because most people are not going to watch the full episode, you know, and that's if it's not edited to make me look even worse. So it's just like, those are the conversations that I'm most afraid to have. And those are the bumps in the roads that I think still to this day, kind of like put a, like a little bit of like on me. And I tread those conversations very, very carefully. And sometimes a little bit too carefully, according to my own community.
But that's why I believe this conversation is so important. And I wanted to have you on the show because as a straight Black woman, I feel like there are so many disconnects that could be had. And like you said, people like to paint a certain picture instead of receiving the knowledge and understanding the knowledge so that you can gain information and maybe become some form of like an ally or a friendship or have some kind of community with the people that you may not understand. That's what It's a Perspective is definitely all about. And you already touched on my next question, which was the huge debate about the term cis. C-I-S for those who don't know what that means. I know you talked about it a little bit, but I kind of want to go a little bit more in depth on why is the term cis being taken out of context?
I think because, like I said, when I was on Sirius XM, it's because some people have been using trans as an insult. And so even though it's not meant to be an insult, right? Like calling me trans is not meant to be an insult. If you say that I'm trans, like I'm not insulted by that. But I think that subconsciously there are people who felt like I was supposed to be insulted by it. And so now that cis has been introduced into everyday conversation, let me be very specific. It has been around since the 1940s. It's not a new term, right? But now that it's being introduced into everyday conversation when it is necessary, I think that folks think that it's get back, right? The folks that have been using trans as a way to be rude and disrespectful and thinking that like it was a harmful thing to say are now feeling like, well, cis has to be get back. Like we've been calling y'all these words all of these years. And so now y'all come up with cis. Cis has to be this disrespect. Y'all have to be trying to get back at us. And it's just like, no, if I want to be disrespectful, I'll just call you a bitch and a hoe like I call everybody else. Like I don't need to like come up with this scientific term. And like, you know, like I feel like it really goes to show how folks have been using language in a way that they have felt, right, has been this covert mission all this time. And now they feel like we're doing the same thing. Well, honestly, it's just a descriptor for us to be able to have a conversation. And when somebody says, you know, like, oh, the podcast that you went on today, like, oh my God, I was with this girl and we were talking. Oh, wait, she was a cis woman, right? Like, just so y'all know, it wasn't one of the girls, like it was a cis woman and we had a conversation. And that way it gives people context to the way that we might've been having this conversation or why we had it in a certain way, right? So it's just to be able to describe the situation. Any other situation, I would just be like, oh, me and my homegirl was talking today, because it's not necessary for me to label the fact that it was this woman unless there is context behind it where I need to like indicate that for people so they understand why the conversation or the situation might have happened in a certain way.
Okay, that makes more sense because I feel like, like I said, in most of these conversations, a lot of things get taken out of context. And if there were just some context to the information that people provide, then we could very much so have so many other different conversations that could be more progressive, I believe. So I believe there's a big disconnect because the various information being shared, like I just said, across the board, in many different avenues, but specifically in the realm of gender and gender identity. I believe everyone has a perspective and it should be shared. However, how do we actualize finding the factual information?
Ooh, Jesus. I think we have to be intentional, right? Yeah. And we have to be intentional with our intentions. People are not crazy. Folks ain't stuck on stupid. The information is out there. People have learned exactly what cis means, right? Okay. The intention behind figuring out what cis means is the problem here.
Okay.
Is my intention to actually figure out what it means in attempts to understand it so that it does not bother me? Or are my attempts to find out more about it so that I can figure out how to dismantle it when it's brought up to me in conversation? Ooh. The intent behind why you want the information has to be coming from a place of genuine understanding and need to assimilate versus the intention just to tear it down. So if I'm looking for information for why cis, right, is important and why it's okay to use it because it does not invalidate me, but it does help to validate conversation, right? Not even people, but conversation, and help to differentiate the conversation when necessary, right. I can go ahead and find that information and use it to my benefit. If my intention is to find out this information because I want to be able to dismantle an argument from a trans person when they call me cis, then that's what I'm going to find out. I'm going to go and I'm going to find all the TERF pages and I'm going to find all of these arguments to use so that when a trans person calls me cis, these are the talking points, right? So yeah. Those are two different intentions. And if you go into it with an intention to be combative, then that's the information that you find.
That is factual. That is factual. That is, I think it's important to realize what, like you said, our intentions are behind everything that we're doing. So if your intention is to dismantle something before a conversation is getting started, then shame on you because some people definitely need the knowledge. Some people definitely need to learn the different things that could happen from a conversation that happens with you. So if you are going into it with the intention to argue someone down or to create ill will to a certain community, then like I said, shame on you, because that's not the right mindset to go into. So let's shift gears a little bit. You created two books. You're a whole author, Becoming Hope and the other book being Until I Met Black Men. Yeah. Yes. Talk to us a little bit about your new title, Until I Met Black Men.
This is my baby. Let me tell y'all something. Y'all can't see if y'all are just listening, but I'm holding it up and she is my baby. Until I Met Black Men is a very long form response to the, he didn't have a father in his life, and so that's why this is what happened, right? Okay. This is what happens when you don't have a father in the home. This is what happens, like, you don't like men because men were mean to you, and that's why you've done all of these things to your body, and that's why you're gay, or that's why you become trans, and all of this other stuff. And so I got tired of people asking me those questions because that just wasn't my reality. I wasn't raped by my father. I wasn't touched when I was a child. Like, none of those things are true for me. And quietest is kept, I don't think that those things are true for a lot of people. I think that that's just the answer that they know that people want to hear that'll get them off of their backs the fastest. And so I think that a lot of community members have told themselves that if this will end the conversation, I'm going to tell you this, let you feel sorry for me, and then we're going to move on, right?
Wow.
But for me, it was about getting people to understand my relationship with Black men and understand that it is not inherently negative. I have a good chunk of Black men in my life, both gay and straight, that have been amazing people to me. And I've had some bad experiences with Black men, and both of them have helped to shape me into the woman that I am. But they also, while writing this book, I realized that while I may have always been biologically male, I don't think that I've ever, like, assimilated or understood what it meant to be a boy or a man. And while I think that there are a lot of people that would say, well, I mean, how could you know what it means to be a girl or a woman? And I think that that's a really valid question. It's a fair question. I don't, right? But I knew that something didn't feel right about what I was told that I was and what I felt like I was naturally accustomed to being, right? And this kind of really breaks a lot of that down and breaks down my understanding of what I thought my issue was with not understanding malehood and not understanding boyhood or manhood. And also, like, really detailing for people that it wasn't me trying to perpetually reject it either, right? Like, I wasn't one of those people that you're going to see on an interview saying, I knew I was a girl since the time that I was 3 years old. Like, that's not my truth, right? Like, I was perfectly fine being an effeminate gay boy. Like, I thought that that was my path, that was my little jam, and I was gonna ride it out.
Right.
I literally woke up one morning and could not take it anymore and realized that my body had finally told the rest of myself, you gonna stop lying to me.
Like, right.
You're gonna stop lying to me and trying to make fetch happen, because it's not. So we're either gonna be in this together and you're gonna do the thing that needs to be done, or we're not gonna be here. So we gonna sit in this window and you gonna decide today about whether or not you gonna be here or whether or not they're gonna come scrape you up.
Wow. Wow. Okay. Yes, that is something for people to read. I think that is really, really, really good. So how has the conversations been with some of the Black men that you may have come in contact with? Like, do you feel like you ask them, do they ask you certain questions, or do you ask them certain questions, or do you feel like there is a big disconnect and maybe you would be somebody that could bridge the gap?
I'm always the person that can bridge the gap. And I think that there's a lot of privilege that comes into that too, because I mean, pretty privilege is a thing. Whether or not people, you know, can clock that I'm trans or not, I'm an attractive person, right? Yeah. And yeah. I think that we give grace to attractive people. And so I think that that's one thing that disarms a lot of men, because I don't give them Ving Rhames and a wig. So they can like be a little bit more comfortable. But then I also think that the idea that I'm not this like, I don't seek to like dismantle a man's like whole idea of who he is when I sit down and we have talks. My idea is to get you to be a little bit less violent to the next trans person that you are going to meet. And if that means that I teach you one new word to use instead of using the T word, then I've done my job, right? Yeah. And I think that when people understand that your goal is just to simply feel safe and to feel good around them, people don't inherently want to feel like a negative person or like their presence brings you discomfort, unless they're a creep, right? Yeah. And so when people can do a thing that they know is going to like in your eyes disarm them or take away this idea that they're this inherently bad person, they don't mind doing that. And so creating a safe space seems to be a good way to kind of sort of get Black men engaged in the conversation, because it's like a lot of them don't want you to feel like I just came here to beat you up because you're trans. Yeah. I just want you to know that you being trans makes me uncomfortable. And so then we can have a conversation about that, because that's what we're really here about. That's the real issue. Right. Not me making you feel unsafe just because you are trans and I'm a man. That's not what they want to do. And I think that I've had really great conversations by putting that on the forefront and letting them know, you make me uncomfortable just because you're a heterosexual cisgender man, or even a gay man who I have seen be transmissive. So it's just like, once you lay that on the table for them and you say, your presence makes me uncomfortable because it causes violence to me a lot of the times, a lot of them will posture in a way that lets you know, I might not agree with what you have going on, but there's not a single bone in my body that just wants to harm you inherently because of it. You know, and I think that I've had a lot of good conversations once we established that.
That is so good. But how do we disarm those who want to cause harm to people who may simply just be voguing in a gas station parking lot?
We can't. And so that's a harsh reality. We can sit up here and have PC conversation all day and say, oh, like, we can do these things and we can have these conversations. If a person wants to be genuinely violent to a group of people for absolutely no reason, they're gonna do that. Like, if that were the case, we would have figured it out with racists already. We haven't, right? And that's because those people genuinely, they genuinely just want to cause harm to us because of the color of our skin, and they have no real reason, they have no real justification. They've told themselves all of these lies to make it okay for them to do these things and not feel morally imbalanced. And I feel like the same thing happens for certain people who feel about the LGBTQIA plus community. If they want to harm a queer person for voguing at a gas station, that's what they gonna do. And it ain't too much nothing that you gonna say that's gonna stop them from that, right? You could put their grandma in a wheelchair in front of that queer person, they gonna push her out the way to still cause that person harm. And that's just because there is something in them that wants to engage in that. Just like you can't stop me from going to a sale at Nordstrom to get some shoes, you can't stop them people from, you know, doing their thing. And it sucks, but I think that what'll have to happen is that those people will have to start to understand that the vast majority of people are not going to agree or engage or rally behind that behavior. Even with that situation that recently happened at that gas station, there are still people that are rallying behind that man's behavior and that are saying, free that man, and that are saying the man had every right to do what he did, right? And so as long as there are people that are going to do that, there are going to be people that think that that violence is okay. And that's unfortunate.
Mm. That's so sad. But that you made a good point. If we can't, you know, if we can't stop it in, you know, just the Black community in general with, you know, racists and how they affect us as people, then we definitely can't stop it in other areas. And definitely we're going to go get them shoes if we want them. So
come on. Now.
So I believe perspective is everything. And my motto is change your mind to change your life. So ultimately, I'm asking is what have you done? And not just in, you know, this conversation that we've been having, but just in life in general, what mindset shift are you making or have you made to change your life?
Honestly, I am trying. Literally, I was just having this conversation with my fiance yesterday. Mm-hmm. I am trying to not walk the world in perpetual fear that people want to cause me harm, embarrass me, or be rude to me. For a multitude of reasons, right? Whether it be because I'm Black, whether it be because I'm a woman, whether it be because I'm trans, whether it be because of a mixture of all three of those things. I walk around the world and I'm not the nicest person to people just inherently because I understand that as a Black person, I can't be nice to every white person that walks up and, you know, walks up to me and asks me for directions. I can't be nice to every white person that, like, happens to be the driver of my Uber car or my Lyft because they're doing their job because they need the money, but that don't mean that they like me. I can't be overly nice to every Black man that I come in contact with in a professional setting because before I know it, I might be in HR and he's saying this trans person is throwing themselves on me, right? And so it's just like, I've learned to navigate the world in a way that's like, I would rather you think I'm a bitch that's standoffish than for you to be able to lie about my character. I would rather you say I don't fuck with her than to say a lie and come up with something about my character that just genuinely isn't true. And so I'm trying to learn to navigate the world in a better space. My fiance is the nicest person. He's going to talk to everybody. He's going to make sure everybody okay. He asking questions about your life, what you did with your baby at. That's not me. And it comes from a space of like self-preservation and protection because I recognize that as a Black trans woman, there's one of three things in this conversation that could go wrong for me. And if all three of them go wrong at the same time, I'm in trouble, right? And I would just rather navigate the world in a way, and it's very sad, but I would rather navigate the world in a way where people walk away from the conversation and say that hope was cold before they say that hope forced herself, before they say that Hope was a radical feminist, before they say that Hope was, you know, this over-sexualized trans. Like, I would just rather you think I'm a bitch and learn from somebody else later that made me feel comfortable that I'm not, than to come into the room and be able to paint with broad strokes because I was being nice and you were able to then use that to turn it into something else.
Well, how can we peel back the layers of hope? Because I feel like hope is a good, you know, person and somebody that needs to be, you know, shared with the world. So how can we peel back those layers and have, you know, different interactions in a normal setting?
Honestly, I like it when I feel like I can just be in the moment and it doesn't, like, I don't like when I'm having regular conversation or a conversation that I haven't curated to be about my transness and people like make every single thing that we're talking about my, like, I love shoes, I love shopping, I love to talk about politics, I love to talk about reading books, I love to talk about Black history and all of those things. Like, there are so many, I love spirituality, I love sexuality, I'm into kink, like, there are so many different other things that we could talk about. And I feel like I can do those things and a person isn't waiting for the opportunity to just ask me about my transness, that is when I feel the most relaxed. That is when I feel the most like okay and the most cool and calm in the space. When I can sit amongst white people and we can talk about the disparities of what it means to be a Black person in America without you feeling like you have to justify the behavior of other people, when it's clear that I know that you're not one of them, but I'm telling you to go get your siblings, right?
Yeah.
Go get your aunties and your uncles and them. Like, that's when I feel like I can be disarmed. When I can sit in a room with either cisgender Black men or cisgender Black women and talk about what it means for me as a Black woman of trans experience to also experience being Black. And there's not this need to separate the idea that one, I'm not a woman, or two, that my Black experience is somehow privileged because I am trans. Like, that is when I feel comfortable. And so it's just about like opening the door up for me to be a human being mm-hmm. and not opening up the door for my caveats to come in and define me before I even get a chance to be there.
Ooh, that's good. And I think it is super important for those that are listening that you take this information and use it for, you know, other people that you may come into contact with, not just Definitely. Hope. Because I believe that other people have those same sentiments. We don't have to always, you know, curate a conversation that is tailor-made. Just have a genuine conversation with someone like you with anybody else. Like she said before, you don't have to separate every single thing. Just have a simple conversation with someone. Okay, so what does passion and what does purpose mean to you?
Ooh, passion is the thing you even when you want to say fuck this shit, fuck the world, and fuck them people, right? Like that is the passion for me. That's that thing that like just does not go out for you. And I think purpose is the thing that drives that passion, right? Mm. The thing that makes you feel like you are worthy to like wake up and pursue this thing is that purpose. So whether that purpose be your children, that drives your passion to this is this new budding relationship that drives your passion for self-therapy because you want to be the best partner to your lover. Or if that purpose is being able to provide for your mom who's now disabled, right? And that purpose drives your passion to become this entrepreneur because you can't go and work a 9-to-5 because your mom might need you at any moment. Like those are things that I put into play. And I think that my purpose is being the person that I didn't see growing up and being the voice mm-hmm. that I didn't have growing up, which drives my passion for activism and storytelling and being in the spaces and having the hard conversations.
That's good. What do you think your younger you would say to you right now?
How you do that?
Yeah.
Yeah. I really do. I think that young Hope will look at this version of Hope and be like, how you do that? Like, how did you become this person? Because I've always been a confident person, but young me was never boisterous. Young me kind of like kept things bottled up. Young me was not necessarily a fighter. Young me was unafraid to do the things that I wanted to do, right? Like, I will say, like, I was never a person that wanted to regret a thing. So mm-hmm. I would rather do a thing and be embarrassed than regret that I didn't do it and be thinking about it, right? Okay. And so I think that young me would just be, like, in awe. Like, I think if I could go back in time, but also, like, travel and meet this version of myself from, like, afar, yeah. I would probably, like, spend a lot more time trying to get closer to Hope a lot earlier because I would be really inspired. Yeah.
Yeah. Who are some people that you kind of like looked up to or some people that are kind of like who you are now? Yeah.
What is so funny? Y'all don't laugh at me because I know some of y'all gonna laugh at me, but don't laugh at me. So not Brandy, but Moesha.
Okay, that makes sense.
A large part of the reason why y'all have Hope is because of that show. Not because of her annoying parts, because watching that show as an adult is very triggering because Moesha was a problem. But I think that just like the way that she was able to speak up for herself and the way that she took school seriously and her grades and academics and being a strong-willed woman, like a lot of Hope is because of that character on that show, like all these years later still.
Wow.
Beyonce, obviously, yeah. that is my very stereotypical queer answer. That lady is just the motivation, the drive, the work ethic, the all of those things is just amazing. And I don't see how it's just built into one little person the way that it is with her.
And then my mother.
I think that there's like this frankness that I'm learning to come into that. Like, I remember growing up, I used to think that my mom was just a little too frank. And I used to think that my mom was just like a little bit too honest. But like now I've learned to appreciate that because I recognize that people lie for free. You know, mm-hmm. people lie and coddle and do all of these things that they don't have to for free. When I grew up, like, my mom never did anything that she didn't want to do. She wasn't messed up with people that she didn't want to be messed up with. If you rubbed her the wrong way, she was effective at communicating that. And like just being a driver of her own like shit. Like my mom never let other people's opinions about how she felt and what she needed to feel comfortable get in the way of that comfortability. And so if you said something, did something, were doing or maneuvering a certain way, she had no problem saying that and then disconnecting or being very upfront about how she felt. And I think that like, as I move into my older years, I just turned 30 last week, like, thank you. I'm starting to realize like navigating like that saves you a lot of time and a lot of heartache with people. Being honest and being upfront about how you feel and what rubs you the right way and the wrong way saves you a lot of heartache and a lot of time. And it creates more genuine space for people who can actually stomach you and take you to be in your life.
That is so good. I'm glad your mom taught you that lesson. Yeah. And I feel like that's an unintentional lesson. One of those ones that you can take and keep, you know, close to you, even after she's not here. So that is so good. We're wrapping up here, but I ask each guest that comes on a question because it can be very imperative to helping the person that is listening. What has been an unfair advantage for you? Something that has happened in the progression of you leveling up that was an advantage for you, but for someone looking on the outside, they could have been like, they wouldn't have been able to achieve it because it's catered specifically for you. In other words, your favor not being there.
My voice.
Question.
What'd My you voice.
Your voice.
My voice. Yeah. When I speak, people listen. And I don't know. I don't know why. I do not know why. I don't think that I always say the best things, but I can say that 8 times out of 10, people resonate. Even the people who don't want to resonate. Like I found that people resonate with my voice. And I think that that's my favorite, not being fair. When I open my mouth, it's just like the creator, God, the universe, whatever you believe in, just drops these nuggets. Like, it's not coming from me, y'all. I know that y'all think that I'm just like this inspirational person that has just been through all of these life experiences and has all the right things to say and knows how to make everybody feel comfortable. But honestly, I just think that my gift is my voice, and the fact that I'm unafraid to use it, it continues to sharpen itself, and I'm continuing to be blessed with it because I'm not afraid to use it. And I'm extremely grateful for it. And I'm extremely grateful for always being able to kind of sort of find the words that people need in the moment.
Ooh, that is so good. Your voice. I haven't heard that answer before. So I'm glad you said that. And I'm glad that when you speak, people listen, because ultimately it could help somebody, you know, that you did not know. Because I like to think about it like this. Most of our experiences that we live are for somebody else. Obviously, it's for us. Obviously, it's to help us to be successful, but it's ultimately to help somebody get through what they're going through, level up in what they're going through. That's what I believe anyway. So what do you have coming up next?
Oh, Lord Jesus. There's a couple of different things. So I have a movie coming out in November. It's Come produced on, by A24. Yeah, A24 Films. So I have that going on. I am working with Victoria's Secret for their new launch campaign for their comeback thingamajigger. It's working just to make sure that they have an inclusive environment. So just to be clear, I am not going to be walking the runway, y'all. I wish that I could, but I'm.
Oh, I thought you were about to be giving it.
I am not going to be walking the runway, but I am going to be making sure that runway is inclusive of all types of bodies, of all types of women and non-binary people, and making sure that the designs are a little bit more equitable for everybody. And there's one more thing, but I'm not sure if I can tell y'all about it, so I'm not going to, because I don't want to be sued.
Not kidding. I understand.
I also do, the important one is I have a scholarship that I'm getting ready to launch.
Okay.
At the end of September, it's going to be a $5,000 grant just because it's coming out of my own pocket. So it's direct funds from me to y'all, for all women, for all folks that identify as women, whether you be trans or cis, but you have to identify as a woman, not non-binary, not, you know, just feminine. You have to identify, live, and maneuver through the world as a woman. Okay. And it'll be a scholarship of $1,000 a piece for anyone to go to a trade school, to, you know, add to your business, to buy equipment for your OnlyFans. It is not discriminatory. You do not have to have a respectable job.
Yes.
But you just got to write a little something, you know? So there is a little something to get that money, but it's going to be launching in late September.
Yes. Come on. Five women, y'all.
Five women.
That is amazing. Okay. So if you can leave my audience with one thing, what would you say?
When you get an opportunity to grab the mic, use it to say the things that need to be heard. Don't say what folks want you to say for the sake of holding on to relationships that may not last in the moment anyway. Say the things that the people need to hear from you, even if they might not be the easiest things for other people in the room to digest. Simple as that.
That's so good. Where can the people find you?
On every social media app, at Hope Giselle. That is the thing. And then if you go to hopegiselle.com, you can also find information to book me and all that jazz and send emails and all of that stuff. So
yes. Well, I have appreciated this conversation more than you know. Guys, please stay connected. She has a movie. She has so many other things coming that we may not be able to have, you know, the knowledge of right now. So that means that you need to stay tapped in with Hope. Like I said, I've enjoyed this conversation. I appreciate you so much for coming on the show and giving up your knowledge and giving up information that people need to learn in general. I just want to say, keep your perspective, because it definitely looks good on you. Guys, we are keeping the flow with the episodes. It's going to keep coming back to back to back. I hope that you stay connected with me. My name